Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new Day All-Purpose Cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
What's up, everybody? It's All-Star and World Series champ Nick Swisher here, and I'm stoked to tell you about my new podcast, The Nick Swisher Show, right here on Podcast One. If you know me, you know I've worn a lot of hats in my career, and each one of them has had highs, lows, and a whole lot of learning in between. And that's exactly what I'm bringing to this podcast. You're going to get crazy interviews with athletes from their struggles to their successes and all their unbelievable superstitions along the way. You're going to hear from hometown heroes that are stepping up to the plate and making positive change and influences in their communities. I mean, we've got scientists, coaches, comedians. I'm telling you, whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just looking for a little energy in your life, then Home Plate is right here. It's old school soul with new school vibes. It's the Nick Swisher Show, coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, in this episode, we get into simulated six speeds, polling questions answered.
Yeah, continuation 4GTs.
That's an interesting one. Updates on Leno and hanging out with him. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. It's CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been kind of busy.
Good.
But yeah, it's been good.
All right. What do you want to talk about today?
There's a couple things that kind of popped up recently. One is the 2005 Ford GT. I went through this with Aaron Hagar a little bit earlier this week on CarCast. He was a guest on the other show. Because his dad's got a 2005 GT, and Michael Anthony, they bought them together. Mm-hmm. But Sammy passed on getting the new Ford GT, which I think he regrets now because they're pretty crazy. But
well, everyone who passed on one of those in 2019 or 18 or whatever, it would have got it loaded up for $675, and now they're $1 million.
Yeah,
which is, you know, nice bump, but it's not, you know, it's not beat yourself up bump.
Yeah, and it was like you didn't really know what to expect from the car if you were early on the list. And then over the 4 years, they did the heritage ones and the special editions and stuff. But you kind of knew what the car was, the collectability and performance and, you know. So I think when he was offered, he wasn't really sure what it was going to be and passed on it. Interesting, though, sidebar, he did, because he passed on a Ferrari before and regretted it, the SUV is coming out, the Pure Sangue, and is like, I think yes on that one. So he ordered that one up. I think it's the like the Grigio. It's kind of a gray, but with the Bordeaux interior.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I think he's going to be more like, oh, it's a Ferrari I can drive, but also like it has ride height. It's easy to get in and out of, and you can fit four people, and it still makes all the noises, and it's V12, and
yeah,
you know. But anyway, the 2005 Ford GT. Apparently, there were 30 chassis never used. Mm-hmm. No bodies, no engines, but they had 30 chassis not used. And then this company, GT1, which I think did these modified Ford GTs when they were...
Were they doing the Targa?
I think so. That was called the GTX. I don't know if it's the same company, but that's kind of what popped in my head. If is that the same company?
I don't know.
They've acquired the 30 chassis.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do carbon fiber bodies. But the bodies are going to be a little bit more aggressive, little side skirts and, you know, splitters and wing and stuff. They don't have the engine. They don't have the 5.4 liter four valve supercharged engine. But they've reached out to Roush to get a small block Ford in there. And they're doing a 427, but twin turbo with all the modern, you know, what you can imagine.
Four cam?
I don't think it is. I think it's just a pushrod motor, okay. 1,500 horsepower. And so, but here's this thing that the discussion's more like, I get it. It's a cool car. It's $1 million. It's 1,500 horsepower. It's the Ford GT from 05 on steroids. But what's interesting is this isn't you bought one and you cut it up. This is like 30 continuation cars. I think they're supposed to be track focused, but they're saying it's likely you'll be able to get it approved and registered for the street in a bunch of states, maybe not California,
right?
Right, for obvious reasons. But, you know, we talked about some of the continuation cars, you know, Jaguar and their XKSS and, you know, a couple of the manufacturers here and there. And they've done well. They've done well in the resale market at auctions and stuff. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on a continuation GT?
Well, I guess Cobra and Shelby tried a kind of maybe weak sauce version of a continuation where it was a little bit more about just putting a number plate on a kind of a kit car or something like that. And
it was like a little better than kit car, but not a real parts bin.
Right. And so to the best of my recollection, and I don't follow that market that closely, but I do know everything. You know, a nicely done kit car is 100 to, you know, $125 now or something. You know, they're starting to get a little bit more. You know, it used to be you dump $150 into it and get $40 back. But now if you do the kit car super performance or what have you, and you do it right, like the resto mods, you can probably get your money out of it. So like the full super performance is, you know, $100,000, $110,000, whatever. Feel like these things are like $200,000 to $250,000 with the official number plate on it, and then the real McCoy'd be $1 million.
Yeah.
You know. So they give it a bump, you know, but they didn't do like they did with some of the other companies. Now the Jags, they just, you know, they started selling them for like, I don't know, 1.3 or something like that. But they were just sort of hand-built aluminum cars. And they'd just be worth $1 million even if someone just built you one, like a Singer or something. You know, Singer's not really number plated or continuation minded or whatever. But, I mean, it's got a plate on it that says Singer. But it's just, hey, that looks like $800,000-$900,000 worth of automobile there. Like a Ring Brothers car. So, I think it's a good idea. I think they will get all the money. And, you know, you're in a more exclusive club at 30 versus 3,000 or however many units they popped out. I don't know how many units of the 05 Ford GT, but I will just say I don't have to count because they're pretty ubiquitous. Every auction has two of them. even the sort of deeper cut, small. I'm not talking about Monterey. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, Mecum, Kansas City or something will have a 4GT. I mean, there's, you go to bring a trailer, there's always a couple for sale.
Yeah.
If you want a 4GT, you may get a 4GT tomorrow if you got $400,000 laying around. So I don't know. You know, these cars will be a little more exclusive for sure. And, you know, I don't think it'd be a bad way to spend $1 million.
If you were going to do a 30 continuation cars on that chassis, do you go this direction and offer $1 million cars that are 1,500 horsepower, or do you try to recreate the original? Now, here's the issue is I don't think there are 30 original 4GT crate engines laying around. I think there's a handful. But I don't think you'd be able to find 30 of that actual engine.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a little more of a purist. One of the reasons I didn't like, you know, to me, the pecking order, if you're trying to recreate something from yore, it's, you know, downdraft Webers or some sort of simulation of that, even though later on they had, I think, the 2 4-barrel double pumpers, you know, Holley probably on there, Stromberg or whatever the hell they had on there. But it was, to me, initially the supercharger bumped me on that car. I was very close to buying one of those cars new from Galpin for, you know, $157,000, which I definitely should have done. It was the there were two things. It was kind of fit and finish, actually three things. I'll just keep going. The body panels had too many seams and too many gaps
there
and too many lines. And, you know, that whole rear clamshell used to just be one big piece, and now it was three pieces. And the rear bumper was a little bit wanky, and the front splitter scoop, you know, was a little weird. And everything looked like it was just sort of made and bolted on.
Yeah.
And it didn't have that sort of flow, that sort of seamless flow that the originals had. So I didn't really like all of that. I didn't like the supercharger. Just felt like a hopped up Mustang engine to me. And then interior, I don't think they quite got it when they were going, well, we're going with the original vibe with the sort of grommets and the holes in the seat, but we're going to supersize them. And it looked kind of plasticky. And it just didn't look like a world beating, you know, $1,000 car. Personally, I would say, and, you know, look, 1,500 horsepower, great. It's great for bragging at Cars and Coffee. Yeah, I don't think you ever use 1,500 horsepower. I would reckon to say that if you took your 1,500 horsepower Ford GT out to Willow Springs and Tanner Faust got into a bone stock one with 512 horsepower.
Yeah, 550.
He would beat you around that track.
Probably.
Yeah. He would give you 1,000 horsepower,
yeah,
and then he'd take 2 seconds off your lap time. I mean, that's so, now, even if you were a good driver, yeah, I'm not even sure where you would use all the 1,500, you know, maybe a little bit on the back and the front straight. But my take on that car, and I've always said it, is I would rather have a high compression downdraft Weber simulation with a Motec or Holley or whatever injection. Like, I'd like to look at some stacks,
yeah,
is basically what I'm saying. I would take myself a, you know, small big block, you know, like a 427 small block or something. I don't even know how we're able to do that these days. It's been explained to me, but I still don't really understand. It used to be 427 was a big block and a 302 was a small block, a 289 and 260. Now we got a big block to the small block, but all right, take the 427, up the compression to, you know, 11.5 or 12:1 or something. Do the Motec injection Holley simulated, or I should say Weber simulated downdraft.
Do the ITBs, do the individual throttle bodies.
Yeah, with 8 stacks, and get 550 horsepower. Get what the other GT
you could probably
has
get
out of
650 out of it. Actually, you could even go full on big block. Ford has in the aftermarket, there's an all aluminum block. That's a big block. And
I don't know if it shoehorns in or not.
I don't know if it does, but the 5.4 liter engine was a big motor.
Right.
And especially a wide motor.
You're right. And all and aluminum, maybe a four cam. That's fine.
If you did
downdraft Motec.
I mean, all aluminum for the lighter weight, big block, real big block with the ITBs. You're probably at 7,750 horsepower just on the motor.
And you're redlining at 8,300 RPM. Yeah. And it's a
little tougher with the bigger.
Big block.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you punch it out, but you start.
You're redlining at 7,600 RPMs, and you got real good throttle response and the sound, which will be cooled off by the turbochargers. You got that naturally aspirated downdraft sound. Yeah. And then you got a car that weighs, 3,300 pounds, and it's got 700 horsepower, and that'll do.
Of course, their thinking is, this is 30 cars. The way 4GTs are now, they're high-priced trading cars, right? Like you said, you see them.
And they're turbocharged now, so there's some
the
legacy
new one.
There.
Even the 05s, the supercharged cars, they're all trading cars. They're all at auctions and probably don't get a lot of miles on them. So maybe this company's going, well, let's just make the high-horsepower supercar with all the bragging rights on paper, and you cars and coffee the thing or occasionally take it out to a fun little track day. But the reality is you're not putting a lot of miles on it, and you want to trade it at some point as the 1,500 horsepower twin turbo continuation.
Well, look, if you're into cars, it's all good. I'm just saying my personal preference is
go naturally aspirated.
I would like to look through that rearview mirror and see 8 stacks staring back at me. Speaking of cars and coffee, I went down to Malibu.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How is that? How's Jay? Jay's doing well?
Matt Farah was there.
Spike
Ferriston was there. Jay Leno was there. And Bruce Myers was there. A few other guys. A couple guys talked, hung out, good guys, went and sat in with Spike's. I don't know, podcast.
Spike's Car Radio, it's his podcast. It's good. Yeah, he's good. I like Spike.
I like Spike, too. I'm not sure what etiquette is. Like, I walked in at 9:30 in the morning, and I was like, hey, I talked to everyone, said hi to everyone. Yeah. And I went, well, where's Jay? Where's Spike? And they're like, they're in there. They're in the mart on a table.
Yeah.
They're inside. And then I walked in, and they're in the middle of a podcast, and then they both looked at me, and then I'm like, I'm not here to crash your podcast.
You wave and
I
keep walking.
I just want to say hi, and then Spike's like, no, sit down, grab the next mic. Now I've inserted myself into the middle of their podcast. So few thoughts. Jay looks brand new, and Jay looks better than old Jay, because Jay's had appeal. and I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally peeled his face and had like baby cells grafted on and went in hyperbaric chamber, and he looks 10 years younger with literally not, I shaved in a hurry this morning and had a couple of scabs hanging onto my face. Not on Jay, not on his ears, not on any, there was nothing.
Yeah.
There wasn't a mark. There wasn't a nick on his face. He promptly pulled out his phone and started scrolling through pictures of him in his hospital bed undergoing procedures with these sort of, rakes being pushed across his face. It was a gory, bloody mess. Showed me a picture of his ear. His ear was a mess. He just went, this was 10 days ago. It was probably 16 days ago, but he just went, this is what I look like 10 days ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to kind of do the math, but it seemed like maybe a little more than 10 days ago, but not 2 months ago.
Right.
And not 3 weeks ago. Maybe, 15, 17 days ago, this was me, held up his phone, looked like a crime scene, looked like his head went through a windshield. And I was just staring, sitting 2 feet from him, looking at him, going, Jesus Christ, you look brand new.
I am so amazed on his just good spirits the whole time and doesn't seem to skip a beat. Like,
yeah,
like he was back in his garage almost immediately, and everybody that reached out to see him seemed like he was in a, you know, cracking jokes and having a, you know, having a.
Yeah, he drove.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, when the doors closed, you know, he could.
He drove his McLaren there.
Yeah, his P1. I saw that.
Jay's so funny. He's such a nice guy. So I got up earlier that week. I don't know, like Monday, Tuesday that week. And I did like something I don't normally do. But I was like, you know, I know Jay. Jay's a friend. I've known Jay for a long time. We have a great relationship. I should reach out to him and go, hey, you want to come on the podcast and tell us your story? You know, it's like, it's not really my style. I know a lot of people. I don't really bug them too much, but Jay's easy. He's nearby. He loves me. And yeah. I do stuff on for his show. And like, so I kind of reached out. I went, hey, can you do this? And he said, no, I can't because I have an exclusive with People magazine and I can't do anything until after, you know, that's the way the world works. I get it. You know, he signed some sort of deal with them. Presumably they gave some money to him or to charity or whatever it was. And part of the stipulation is you can't go on Jack Off's podcast. And
yeah. And a certain amount of time,
you know,
like you got to be radio silent for 30 days or whatever.
Right. So I went and saw him on Sunday and we're hanging out. And I just sort of wrote back like, yeah, I get it. Understood. You know, I'm always very, not because I'm magnanimous. I don't like being the pressure prick. You know, I don't like going, well, when? Then when? You know, I just go, oh, get it. Got it. See you soon. Like, are you going to be at the shop this weekend? Maybe I'll swing by. And he said, yeah, I'll be at the shop. And then I saw him in person and, I didn't bring it up. But after I saw him in person, he said, yeah, well, maybe, I got to do this tomorrow or the next day for people. After that, I'll come in and do your podcast. So he brought it up, And so I was like, oh, okay. So I let a couple days go by. And then yesterday I hit him up and I was like, hey, Jay, you said maybe you want to come by and do the podcast after the people thing. Is there any day that's good for you? Or we go in the afternoon, you're going to be around. And it's funny. He wrote back a little bit of a curt, un-Jay Leno-esque back thing. He just said, you know, we're doing Jay Leno's Garage. We're doing two a day. I don't have any time this week. You know, thanks, Jay. And like I kind of remember reading it. It wasn't like fuck off, but it was like a little bit. Last time I saw him, he said, hey, maybe I'll come by and do your podcast. And this is like, I'm busy. I can't do it. And I was like, it was a little bit curt, but I understand sometimes you're filming, you know, in between takes and you're just like, I am really busy. I can't do it. You know, speaking of kind of shorthand, but it was a little bit off his normal magnanimous, super friendly tone, just a little bit. And I was like, all right. I get it. Like, I don't need to come back all the time. Okay, well, then maybe next week. You know, I just was like, all right, he's busy. He's working on his shit. We'll figure this out. And then I sat around and, like, that was in the morning. And then that evening, I get one from him going, what time do you tape? You know?
See,
And it's like he's so consistently nice that I think he realized he was a little bit curt with the answer. And so he thought of, it probably bugged him for the shooting that day, and then at the end of the day, he reached out a second time.
If it was even him in that instance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, like, your phone's buzzing, you know, an assistant, a producer, somebody, grab it, and they're like, well, it's Adam. Do you want to reply? And
we're
like,
tell
him I'm shooting, and I'll get back to him later.
Right.
And that's what happens, right? Like, and sometimes you could tell the difference. You'd be like, you could look at that and go, oh, I know that's somebody else. Adam's dictating or whatever, or Jay's dictating, but I know it's somebody else.
Well,
I'm glad he's doing well. I'm glad he came out and said hi. I know the whole point was they were where they do that Malibu Cars and Coffee, the restaurant there, I guess, is closing down. And so it was kind of a big farewell to the place there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's did Seinfeld show up? I don't know if he was even in town or he was doing something. It was mentioned that he might have been out there.
No, he was on a plane back to New York, I think, as we were doing that. I talked to Spike about it a little bit, but they were working on the Pop-Tart movie and blah, blah, blah. But he's retreated. But he's aware of us. Seinfeld, that is. So at some point, we'll get him in to talk about Porsches, and he wants to drive his 935 down PCH. And I said to Spike, which one is it? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, is it the Martini one? Is it a Brabus? Not Brabus. I'll think of the other big Porsche one. Martini's one livery, and then there's Peter Gregg's stuff, which is I'm saying Brabus, but I don't mean Brabus.
It's not that. Now you said that. I could picture it, but I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
We'll figure that one out. Anyway, he didn't know, but he sent me a picture. I figured if Seinfeld had a 935 that it wasn't in primer. You know, it probably had a pretty cool
Brumos,
right? I got Brabus and Brumos.
Yeah, Brumos. That's what popped in my head.
So I think it was in Martini. Spike sent me a picture. Anyway,
but there is the Brumos collection, which has all of those cars. So I don't know if that's the one that he got.
No, he's got the Martini.
He's got the Martini. He's got the Martini. I mentioned this to you, I think last week, and I wanted to bring it up on my phone real quick. I put it up on Instagram and said, should we take the Hawaiian Tropic Porsche 935 and put it in the Apple livery, or should we keep it the Hawaiian Tropic livery? Just wanted to get some input from the listeners. A bunch of views. Almost 8,000 views on the video, just under 100 likes, 70, 75 or 70-something likes, or comments rather. Sorry, not likes, but comments. And of all of those comments, I think three or four people said Apple livery. The other 70-plus said, no, don't change it. They said, the Apple livery car is cool. The Hawaiian Tropic car is too special, and it's never been cloned where the Apple has car. Just maybe revisit the tribute car, the clone car that we were, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Peter Clute from Dream Car Garage and many other things, he kind of said as much.
Yeah. He said, no, don't do it. He said, Apple.
He said that this is how it, you know, was successful at Le Mans in this livery. Yeah. Leave it how it was. It was interesting.
Look, if it was a matter of a wrap and some stickers, but it's much more involved than that.
Yes.
It's a rebody.
Yes.
But yeah, that's kind of it's kind of an interesting. That's kind of what people are thinking. Is Hawaiian Tropic the way to go? Now, I'm not opposed to saying, well, if you keep it Hawaiian Tropic, let's finish it the Hawaiian Tropic. Let's do the actual Le Mans car. Let's move the mirror where it needs to do, the side lamp that's missing, you know, the actual Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Car needs a little bit of work and a little bit of restoration, but let's just.
That would take, you know, 10 minutes and 10 bucks to kind of add a couple of accoutrements that just happen to be missing from the actual way it ran. And move the mirror, put some marker. I'm calling them marker lights, but you're right. There are kind of lights to eliminate Le Mans.
Yeah.
They needed to see what number car was going by at night. Something maybe on the roof, too, as I think about it, but I can't.
Yeah, right. I don't
fully come up with it.
And it might be on the toy model on the big.
Then there is the ongoing dispute over the windshield visor sticker. Is it white? Is it black?
Right.
I've seen it in five versions of each.
Right.
Cannot come down with an accurate answer.
I mean, I guess only pull Lamar photos. Don't pull Sebring, Daytona.
Lamar has it both ways.
How is that possible? They swap the windshield.
All I could think of is that it ran at practice, rock shot up, cracked the windshield. They swapped it out. And it has a different, I don't know what to call that, visor shade or
yeah, the banner, windshield banner.
Yeah, windshield banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to know. We need to know who was there.
Yeah.
In 79, somebody was there.
Well, the reality is you can ask, I don't know, Bob Gerritsen, and he just go, I don't remember. We ran those cars so many different ways.
But he would tell you if it's more plausible, if that's what happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen pictures.
He would say, I don't know for sure. He would go, no, you can't. In the rule book, you can't do this or you can do that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I've seen it both directions at Le Mans, same year. I don't know what's going on with exposures. You know, we're looking at a picture. I'm talking about film. Yeah, there is a marker light on the top, too, it looks like.
Right.
We're talking about.
That's a black and white photo we're just looking at.
Right.
Black banner, white text.
Right.
Or is something with the film.
But there's pictures of that car going down Le Mans in the rain with a white banner on it. So who the hell knows? All right. Let me tell you about Snap-on. Love these guys. Today's episode is brought to you by the makers and the fixers of Snap-on. Yeah. It's the fixers. They keep the world rolling. They fix. They work. They get a little grease under their cuticles. Factories and repair shops and roads and rails. They build and they maintain everything. And it's really the backbone of this country. Aviation, automotive, agriculture, mining, marine, military. Military uses Snap-on, I think, pretty exclusively when we were at the Snap-on factory facility, right? Fix it. Don't put it in a landfill and don't order a new piece from China. Fix it yourself with Snap-on. And it's not just a job, it's a calling. They want to hear from you, by the way. Share your story at makersandfixers.com/carcast and check out the Makers and Fixers on Instagram. Snap-on. What else can you say? Just the creme de la creme.
I got Snap-on tools. I love it. I'm so glad. It's like one of the best investments. Use it all the time. But my thing is always like, got to wipe them down. They got to look brand new when they go back into the box.
We're going through their factory. It was like a kid walking through a candy store for us.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was funny because when you walk through there, they had the museum at front and they're like, grab the ratchet. Here's the. And then afterward, they're like, that's the first one. It's 100 years old.
Yeah. Still guaranteed.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is going on in the car world?
Interesting thing that Lexus is doing is Lexus is coming up with a way to, let's say, simulate the manual transmission driving experience for EV cars. Mm-hmm. It will have a stick. It'll have three pedals. Now, obviously, it won't be real, but they're saying we think we can make the feel of this so real that you wouldn't really know the difference. So it's the clutch pedal. Not really activating a clutch, but it would simulate the driving experience all the way down to you could stall the car, or if you're on a hill, it'll roll backwards when you engage the clutch. So interesting on – and it's interesting because here's the thought was we like driving the manual transmission because you're so involved with the car, but – if you knowingly get into the car and realize you're driving a manual transmission that isn't really doing anything, does that take some of the fun factor away? Or was simulating it well enough that you don't really feel the difference enough?
How's it simulate? I mean, you have a stick shift.
A stick shift. There's three pedals. Everything from your point of view is going to be just like driving a manual. Internally in the car, it's a lot of software. It's computers that are happening. And then you'll be able to do things you wouldn't normally be able to do in a conventional car. Like you could probably program in different gear ratios. You can simulate gear ratios.
So to me, the manual versus the, you know, it'll do it for you world we're living in. The thing, this sounds interesting to me and I applaud it, but I would say this. The thing about the manual shift is it's not, I mean, part of it is the upside. It's, oh man, this feels exciting. And the movement and the sound and the simulation of speed and all that sounds great. And everyone likes that. But what they never really talk about the manual is mistakes can be made.
Mm-hmm.
And they will let you make those mistakes. And everyone who's raced, including myself multiple times, has grabbed the wrong gear and had a car go right past us and blah, 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 blah. And it's really that's the intriguing part of the manual. Everyone talks about, you know, slamming it into second and taking, you know, chirping the wheels. But what about slamming it into fourth and having it bogged down and have the guy pass you? That's the rub of the manual. And it's that sort of danger of screwing up element. And so what I would say about this is it's great, but it also needs a danger of screwing up.
So some of the flaws need to be built into the system. Like if you, like you said, if you,
it's like,
you know, instead of second gear, you pull fourth gear, what happens?
Right.
Does it know?
Does it bog?
Yeah.
Or does the computer immediately recognize it and put you in the right RPM?
I mean, I think that's, I think they're trying to simulate as much of that as possible. I would say there are some fail safes, you know, like, you know,
couldn't
going from,
put it in reverse.
From third to first and, you know, something like that. It's not going to over rev. Obviously, it's going to simulate maybe some sort of over rev type of sound or something. If it's a mechanical shifter, if it's some sort of digital shifter and you don't know the difference between first gear and third gear, then it might not even tell you you screwed up. But you're right. It should tell you that you screwed up.
Yes.
But if you consciously know the mechanical aspect of it is gone, do you think that'll take something away?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but not to anyone under 40 is what I would say.
I mean, simulators are pretty good these days.
Yeah.
You know, flight simulators, driving simulators, that
absolutely,
you can have a pretty good experience in it. I think it would be kind of interesting if they can really do it. Like you said, if they can work in the flaws as much as the benefits.
Yeah, like a flight simulator or a driving simulator.
Right.
All right, last one. McLaren is selling some of their heritage collection as the company loses money. So are they talking about selling F1 cars? What are they talking about selling?
Yeah, so what's interesting is they didn't specify which cars specifically, but they have a good collection. And I know they've leveraged things in the past, like they're building. But I think they're still losing a little bit of money. Maybe, I don't know what comes out to be, like 200 pounds. 200 million pounds, 200 million bucks, 250 million bucks, something like that. And they need to fund.
Yeah.
And they need to fund the Artura, which is the new hybrid EV car, which we did see at the Velocity Invitational. They had a couple of them there. So, yes, it's an interesting situation. They are selling the Heritage Collection to fund that project. But I believe there's a stipulation where they can buy it back, right? So it's like they went to a $100 million pawn shop.
Right, right.
And said, hold on to this for us. Don't touch anything. But they didn't specify the cars. But it's just kind of, it was interesting to me.
Well, they walked through the halls of McLaren. They're littered with heritage cars. I'm mostly F1, probably some Can-Am stuff in there. For sure, and I'm not well versed enough in McLaren to know what else they would have there. But like I said, some Can-Am, some F1, and
I'm sure it's definitely a combination of racing cars and some of the street cars, because the street cars haven't been around as long as the racing cars.
And they could definitely raise some funds with those cars.
But it's interesting. It's like, this is a company I'm surprised no one else has really reached out or partnered with. This is a company that needs funding.
It doesn't have a parent company.
It does. An investor company that owns like 60% or something now, maybe more at this point. But I'm surprised somebody else didn't go in try to maybe not acquire the company, but partner the way, you know, Bugatti is under that Audi VW umbrella and Porsche umbrella, but then Bugatti and Rimac, and now Rimac's in charge of Bugatti, but Porsche owns a big stake in the whole thing, and, you know, like some kind of partnership there.
Yeah, they've lost $213 million bucks in the first 9 months, I guess, of this year. So the, you're 250. They're kind of on track to lose.
Yeah, but anyway, it's an interesting business move. But I like the cars. That's why you want them to do well.
Well, so does Leno. All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows coming up in Tucson and, oh, God, where else? Tempe and all over the country. And also you can come out and see me and John Popper in Dallas.
He's the best.
He is the best. And you just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live events. What do you got?
Just posting some more stuff up on social media for you guys and be driving some new cars. So check it out up on Motorator.
So till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.